Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Father, thank you, Lord. We desire for you to speak what is true tonight. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our lives. Help us, Lord, to walk in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good evening. How y'all doing? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Hey, I got a couple announcements to make. Just a couple, and then we're gonna jump in, dive in. First of all, Sunday the 25th, we are having our New to HBC again. We haven't had one of those in a while. So if you are new to HBC, you've been coming for the last 3 months or 4 months, and you want to know a little bit more about the church, Sunday the 25th after second service, stay, come to second service and stay. It'll be in the blue room, and you go, well, I get hungry. That's all right. We have some snacks for you, and we're going to do things a little different, and so I'm excited about the way we're going to do New to HBC, the new year coming up. So if you're new, we want to meet you. We want to talk with you. And so would you please come and hang out? Okay, also the bookstore. They got a new shipment of Bibles. Yay, we all need the word. Woohoo, Bibles. Yeah, read them. They have a whole big selection of tracts that will help you to get the word out. And I'm super excited about this because you know how I love hoodies. We're going to be taking orders on new hoodies, but really cool ones. Not that the other ones aren't cool. Anything with HBC on it is cool, of course. No, but really neat style. So perfectly timed for Christmas. What a great Christmas gift. Give it to yourself. You're going to want to. We're not taking orders yet. We're getting some samples of the hoodies because they're a new style, and you're going to want to make sure that they fit you because sometimes they run small or large or whatever. So excited about that. Bookstore, book Bibles, that's the most exciting part. Tracks, that's exciting. And then hoodies, yay, okay. All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. If you need a Bible, the ushers are here. They'll put one in your hand. By the way, if you don't have a Bible at home, take that with you. Take it with you, and yeah. There you go. Gosh, I'm feeling weird tonight. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. You're going to need it. No, I've entitled our message. I just felt like, you know what, there's something the Lord wanted. I told my wife, I said, I don't know. I don't feel like going back to 2 Kings yet. And then I took a drive, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, prayer. And I said, okay, Lord, what should I teach on? He said, how about the Lord's Prayer, what people call the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 through 13, I've entitled our message, Our Father, May Your Name Be Kept Holy. And we'll explain that here momentarily. We're going to look at when we pray, who we pray to, what we pray, and why we pray. So you get the when, who, what, where, and why. Without the where, but yeah, you'll figure it out. So let's do this. I want to read it, and then we're going to pick it apart. And hopefully we'll get through the whole thing tonight. If not, this will be a two-parter, but let's read it, and then we'll pick it apart. Okay, Matthew 6, starting verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Yay! And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtor. And lead us not into temptation. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Father, forgive. Father, forgive your trespasses. Okay, so prayer. That's our key. Let me pray. God, I ask that you would be here with us tonight, that we would glean, that we would grow, that we would gather all that we can and apply it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for being with us. And now, Lord, equip us. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer. It's important. Prayerfully, by the end of tonight, you'll have a better idea what this prayer is all about, this Lord's Prayer. But real quick, I thought, and I love doing this, how about how kids pray? I love how kids pray. So I went and found a new batch. I have an old batch, but I found some new ones. And let me read to you some kid prayers. Dear God, my mom tells me you have a reason for everything on earth. I guess broccoli is one of your mysteries. There's no reason for it. Dear God, I need you to make my mom not allergic to cats. I really want a cat, and I really don't want to ask my mom to move out. Dear God, I saw my big brother walking out of the shower on accident. God, can you please erase from my brain? Dear God, I promise never to say those bad words again, at least until my next shots. It really hurt. Please, God, don't let it rain next Saturday. The first ball I hit will be for you. Dear God, I heard the moon was made of cheese. Tonight, half of it is missing. Were you hungry? Dear God, are you a ninja? Is that why we can't see you? Dear God, would you make me a little brother? I want someone to boss around. I love this. Dear God, I hope my dog is with you in heaven. Please take care of him. Sorry if he chews your sandals. And last one. Dear God, take care of mommy, daddy, sister, brother, my doggy, and me. And oh, please take care of yourself, God. If something happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. I love that. I love that. Listen, he is our Father. He is our God. He is our King. And we should make sure that his name is kept holy in our lives. So when we pray, let's look at verse 6 through 8. But when you pray, he starts it off, when you pray. By the way, there's no commandment to pray. Thus, I command thee, pray. There's nothing like that. God assumes, but you look at other religions, every religion in the world, people pray. Unfortunately, they're praying to nothing. We're praying to the living God. But listen, but when you pray, last week, here's what we looked at. Last week, we looked at our witness. And I explained to you that in our witness, you are just simply to share what you know, right? Well, listen, this week, as we look at our withness, see, there's our witness, and then there's our witness, how much we're with God. And when you come to your witness, when you're with him, just bring what you got. You see, people are often like, well, Pastor, I can't pray like so-and-so prays. God doesn't want you to. I don't know what to say. Say whatever you got. Listen, in Exodus 32, Moses talks to God. But you know what? It's almost as if, you go read it on your own, it's almost as if Moses was rebuking God. What? Yeah, go read it. It's almost like he's rebuking. Now listen, if we were in a prayer meeting and someone started to talk to God the way Moses did, we'd all kind of like scoot our chairs away. It's like, in case he gets struck, I don't want to be there. Someone would probably pull that person aside and say, listen, you can't talk to God like that. That's not doctrine. Listen, God just wants you to bring what you got. You upset? Tell him you're upset. You're angry? Tell him you're angry. You're sad? Tell him you're sad. Just bring what you got. When you witness, bring what you know. If you know a lot, good. If you know a little, all you need to know is Jesus loves you, right? He forgives you. But when you pray, just bring what you got. Don't try to dazzle. Don't try to pretend. If you're really angry with God, don't try to, oh, God, I love you. You're great. He's like, whatever. I know what's in your heart. Just be real. Now, I'm not encouraging you to get angry with God. Because trust me, listen. If you're angry with God, guess who's wrong? Yeah. God wants us to be real. Bring to him your heart. Bring what you got. Just simply come to him. Spend time with him. Listen, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. In Matthew 14, 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, speaking of Jesus, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. How many people in ministry, when they have a huge following, is going to send them away? No. In today's society, many pastors, churches, ministry leaders, they're looking to see how big. Jesus gets a huge ministry, and he was always sending them away. He'd minister to them, but he'd send them away. Why? Because he wanted intimacy with the Lord. Listen, there is a time for corporate prayer, and we looked at that on Sunday when we talked about the church on Pentecost, how they had a powerful move, and God says, I like that. But God really values alone time. Jesus valued alone time with his Father. And what's amazing to me is I get it. I get it that Jesus would want alone time. I get it when we want alone time. Why? Well, he's God, right? Listen, if I went to meet the Queen of England or some powerful, impressive person, I'm going to give them my undivided attention, right? I'm not going to be off on a tangent thinking about something else. No, you're going to look at me. You're going to be like, hanging. That's the way we should be with God. We should be intimate with him. By the way, think about this. He values his time with us. In Genesis chapter 6, in Genesis, when God made man, what did God do? He rested. Not because he was tired. God rested because he enjoyed the fellowship with what he had created. You know, atheists always go, what's with this God? Why would he, everything he was making was so good, why would you rest? Well, because it was good. And he loves fellowship. And he loves us. So the fact that he is waiting to spend time with us, and yet so often many of us don't see the value and spending time with him. There's an important note as we continue that we learn from Luke. Luke tells us this. In Luke 11, verse 1 and 2, now it came to pass when he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say. And then he does the Lord's Prayer, what's called the Lord's Prayer. By the way, if the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, it's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer, him teaching them to pray. We have other prayers of Jesus when he's just praying for us. He's interceding for us, and we'll talk about that some other time. But this isn't really the Lord's Prayer. This is actually, and it's not even the, it's a model prayer is what it is. It's an outline of prayer. But here's what I want you to note. The disciples said, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us what to pray. Hang that on your belt. I was about to disclose. Hang that on your belt. We will pick that apart a little later. But the idea is God is our Father. He wants an intimate relationship with us. And we are to keep his name holy through our witness. And that becomes our witness. We'll look at that. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, go to sleep. No. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Huh. In Luke 5:16, Jesus, so he himself often, listen to what it says, he himself often withdrew into the wilderness to what? Pray. Jesus often just went away, went into the wilderness, went where he could be alone and prayed. He did it often. Is that what would be said of you? Oh, that Pastor Andy, he went often off by himself to pray. I do pray, but I can't say that that would be the constant earmark like some people. Some people are so in so much prayer. Now, I pray without ceasing, and you should too. But there's a difference between praying without ceasing and having that intimate, quiet time when you're alone with God. Now, I have that too, but would that be the earmark of my life? There are people who just, that's their life was prayer. Lots and lots of prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 19. Rejoice when? Always. Pray without what? Ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Ooh, yikes. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Ha. Huh. When I don't take everything to God, believing that he is going to bless, that he has a plan, I'm quenching the Spirit. I am. You are. We are. Many do it. We need to go and be in constant connection with God. We need to have that those times when we go alone and we shut that door and we just you and him that you've set aside. Now, listen, I pray when I'm driving. I pray in the shower. I pray when I'm studying. I pray sometimes I just put on music. And I'm constantly talking to God. You probably are too. But there needs to be this time when you just shut everything down and you devote just your attention to him. You're not watching street signs and street lights. You're not scrolling Facebook. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. Yikes. Verse 7. When you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. For they think they will be heard in their many words. Pastor Andy, I don't want to pray all the time. I don't want to go to prayer meetings. Listen, when I go to prayer meetings, they pray the same thing all the time. Over and over. Go to a prayer meeting, guess what they're praying for? The sick people in the church that they prayed for last prayer meeting. For the lost, they prayed that last time. For prodigals, they prayed that last time. For the church, for the ministries. This, it says, when you pray, do not use vain repetition as a heathen do. I don't want to be a heathen, so I don't go. The key here isn't the repetition. The key here is vain repetition. Vain. Why? Well, because, listen, is there anything new under the sun? No. No. When you talk to your spouse, do you have something fresh and exciting and new to talk with them? No, sometimes it's the same thing. Well, we got bills. What do you want to eat today, honey? Nothing sounds good. And then you eat everything. The operative word is vain. What that means? That means empty. Why? Well, because we see examples in the scripture of repetitive prayer that is good. We do. First of all, Jesus gives a parable. If you would, please turn to Luke chapter 18. In Luke 18, verse 1 through 8, Jesus gives the parable of the persistent widow. Here's what he says. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Gosh, I'm tongue-tied. You try having a tongue like this in your mouth. Thing is massive. Big. I'm thinking about a tongue reduction, really. Sorry. Okay. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there's a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, and I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming to me, she weary me. So this widow in this parable that Jesus is giving, this woman just kept nagging. Hey, will you get justice? Please give me justice. I need justice. Same thing over and over. Then he says, verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? He says, listen, you cry out day and night. You know, you got a prodigal, you got a sick family member, you care about the lost, you whatever it is. He says, praying day and night. I tell you, verse 8, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Do you get what he's saying there? He's saying this. He goes, look at this woman in this parable, this idea, this concept. This woman came to an ungodly judge and said, avenge me, avenge me. And he's like, you know, I don't believe in God and I don't fear any man, but this woman, she keeps coming. She just keeps coming at me. I'm going to give her what she wants so that she leaves me alone. And he says, but God loves you. So keep crying out. And he says, when the Son of Man, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find his church praying? Yeah, not vain repetitious prayers, but I'll pray the same thing over and over and over. George Mueller, man of much prayer, had thousands of his prayers answered because he kept a journal of every prayer. And he prayed, and some of the prayers were answered after he died. But he prayed every day. He kept a journal. He prayed for the same thing. But it wasn't in vain. It was from a heart that was pleading with God for the people he was praying for. In fact, the Lord had a physical encounter similar to this. Turn to Matthew 15. Since we're in 6, you just, you know, hop over. Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." In other words, Jesus, you didn't answer her, but she's still coming at you. She's nagging us. "Hey, give me Jesus. I want to talk to him." They're like, "Will you just send her away? If you're not going to answer her, send her away. Watch this." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You're a Gentile woman. "I have come for the Jews. Why do you bother me?" Now, I want you to know, Jesus is not being harsh. Jesus is teaching you and I something here. And she came and worshiped him. Look at that. Saying, "Lord, help me." She worshiped him. Even though he turned his back on her, even and didn't answer the first time, and the second time he says, "I didn't come for Gentiles. I came for the Jews." But she says, "You're God. I'm still going to worship you." But he answered and said, "Is it good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs?" You're like, "Oh, Jesus. Wow, Lord. You calling her a little dog?" And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that hour. Jesus says, "That's what I'm looking for, guys." Disciples, HBC, just like the parable. The king said, "Look, she keeps coming. She's coming." And Jesus says, "When I return, will I find that kind of faith? Will you keep coming to God? Maybe you didn't answer your prayer today. But you go, 'You know what, God? I'm not going to stop praying. You will answer. You are a good God. You have a plan.'" You know, there is a time that we do pray too much. "How dare you, Pastor?" You know when it is that we pray too much? When all we do is ask for things. Then you're praying too much because you're way off. And God's going, "Oh, the noise. All I hear is clanging. Praying for things instead of praying out of love." Verse 8. Yikes. "Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask." He says, listen, don't be in vain repetition. Vain repetition. Yes, repeat the prayers. Keep praying. "The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman avail much." Fervent. Consistent. You will not give up. You will not stop praying. It's a labor of love that you pray. He says, "Therefore, do not be like them," those who pray vainly. "For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask." Well, someone will say, "Well, if the Father knows what I need before I ask, then why pray? He's got it." Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, because it's not about the things that you need. It's about the relationship. The relationship that you value. It's about faith. Here you go. It's about faith and faithfulness. Faithful to pray for the things that you know are spiritually and scripturally important. Faith. "I believe that God can answer these prayers and will answer these prayers according to his will. And whatever his will is, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me." Right? Shouldn't that be our attitude? So, who do we pray to? Well, he says in verse 9, in this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven. Now, we all know right now, especially in an election year, we know the power of the vote, right? We've got candidates spending millions, if not billions of dollars on ads because they want your what? Vote, because it has power. We know the power of dollars, right? Or should I say of gold? The dollar can lose and fluctuate. We know the power of gold. In fact, the band U2, they have a song called New Year's Day, and here's what it says. They say this is a golden age, and gold is the reason for the wars we wage. And then he says this, I want to be with you night and day, but nothing changes on New Year's Day. You know what he's saying there? I get this. On New Year's Day, everyone says, hey, I've got this resolution. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to spend more time with the Lord. But yet New Year's comes and ends and nothing changes. We value gold more. We fight and we battle for gold more than we do for God. We spend more time, more of our effort seeking after gold than God. So we know the power. We know the power of our vote. We know the power of the dollar or gold. We know the power of gunpowder and lead. It's powerful. I often said this. You can take a big guy like me and put a shotgun in my hand. And you could take a little 90-pound gal and put a shotgun in her hand. That trigger gives us the equal amount of power. It's sad. We know the power of splitting an atom, the power it can produce. But why is it that we do not know the power of prayer? More powerful than any of those things. More powerful than your vote. More powerful than gold. More powerful than gunpowder and lead. More powerful than splitting the atom. And yet, as we look around, we seem to think that people see more power and value in those other things because so little is spent on prayer. So little. Prayer is unto God. If prayer is unto God and God is all powerful, then we are more powerful on our knees than when we stand behind a trigger. Or a button, or a bank vault, or a ballot box. But you never think that were true to look at the lives of the people in the church. Nothing is talked about more and practiced less than prayer. Why? Why do you think it's so hard to pray? I'll tell you why. It's spiritual warfare. The enemy doesn't want you to. Why? Because he knows if you begin to pray, you're going to have power. And he wants to tear your life up. He wants to ruin your witness, and that's ruined because of your witness. A lack of witness with God ruins your witness before people. The problem is, we have little gods. Little gods. Cable TV is a little god. And someone goes, I don't have that problem, Pastor. I have satellite TV. Okay, internet. YouTube. Politics. Cell phones. Yeah, prayer meeting. Someone texts you and you can't. I better answer this text. Why? Well, because by the time we're done praying, their world could have imploded if I don't answer them right now. And God's going, so that's how valuable I am. You're answering texts from people instead of listening to the voice of God. You know, like I said, if I stood before the Queen of England, I'm not going to say, Queen, wait, hang on. Someone's texting me. No, I don't like Ren and Stimpy. Listen, if you go to prayer for an hour, the people who are texting you, whatever's going on Facebook, it's still going to be there. Look, if you and I put our phone away for a week and then turned it back on at the end of the week, you know what we'd find? Everything's still there, still waiting on us. Nothing changed, and I surely didn't make a difference. But he can make a difference. But we sometimes don't recognize the power of prayer. And worse, we sometimes don't recognize that we got little gods in our life that take our time. So rewinding now, remember I said hang on your belt when the disciples said, teach us to pray, not what to pray. Verse 9, he says, in this manner. When Jesus says in this manner, what he's saying there, that this shouldn't be a mantra. It's not called to be a mantra, to recite it over and over. Listen, all of us could probably do it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day. You know, maybe even faster. But did it mean something? Did it mean something to you? This is an outline. This is a structure. That's all. Now, I'm not saying, hold the phone. I'm not saying you can't pray this prayer. You should. Every now and then. I've even done it in prayer meetings where I'm like, oh God. But I kind of put it in my own heart. I don't recite it verbatim. I kind of like, God, you're my, our Father. You're a dad. You're in heaven. And the glory that's in heaven. Your name is holy. Be set apart from any other name. You know, I'll recite it, but with meaning and feeling, and I'll contemplate every single aspect. So look, it says, he says, pray in this manner. Hallowed be thy name, or be your name. Holy. Now, what does holy mean? Set apart. Set apart. That God's name is completely set apart from any other name. Now, you know what's funny? When I was a kid, I went through a season when I was about 12. I'd gone to this church, and they showed some rapture movies, Distant Thunder. This is how old I am. Distant Thunder, A Thief in the Night. They're old 70s movies. And this was like, you know, anyways, it shook me up. They're on YouTube free, by the way, if you want to watch them, but they're really dated. Oh my gosh. But it had an impact on me. So for a little while, I was kind of like seeking the Lord. Now, no one ever taught me the Lord's Prayer. I just kind of had heard it and put it to pieces. And I'd lay in my bed and I'd recite it. And I'd recite it over and over. But what I'd do is if my mind started wandering, I'd stop and say, no, focus on God. And I'd start all over again. And then I'd just talk to God. God, I had a hard day today. You know, I beat up 5 kids. And they're all bloody. And I feel a little bad, I guess. I kind of do. I guess I should feel, or no. But I would just talk to God, and he would answer me, and I knew it was him because he usually said something I didn't like, and it was hard to deal. And then I went into my demon days. I became an atheist. But what was funny is when I, in my mind, here's how I picture it. Our Father, okay, we got a dad in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. I guess his name is holy. I mean, hollow on the inside. So there's some letters, and they're hollow. I guess you break them, look inside. There's nothing in there. He's a spirit, right? And by the way, our Father who art in heaven, I pictured him with one of those painter palettes, and he's doing art. It's like, yeah, the heavens are beautiful, Lord. That's awesome. And only, that's how I pictured it. I would go through that in my mind. But here, when it says, holy is your name, it's set apart. Now, here's the question. If we don't pray that prayer, is his holiness nullified? No. When we pray that, what I'm saying is that I would keep his name holy in my life, because that's the only life I can affect. Our Father, my Father, he's talking to the disciples, but my Father, my Abba Daddy, my Daddy Father in heaven, holy is your name in my life. Because if it's not holy in my life, it's still holy. I just don't get to enjoy it. Sad. Once again, My witness before the lost is contingent upon my witness with God. The more I'm with him, the more power my evangelism is, the more powerful that my life has. And here's the thing. What does your witness look like? How obedient are you? And what does your communion and prayer, is it sweet? Is it powerful? Is it monologue? Is it a grocery list? Is it a list of complaints? Or is it, Lord, that I would hear? Sometimes I go before the Lord and all I can do is go, oh, God. And that's the extent, because I'm hurting emotionally. And then he speaks. I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. Seek me. Now, Billy Graham, powerful witness. You know why? Because he was a man of much prayer. He had much witness. But they asked him a question just before he died. If he would live differently, and if you listen to the video, make sure the sound is on, please. If you listen to the video, listen to his response to that question. It was short. When it sounds like that, just cut some of the bass out and it'll sound much clearer. Anyways, here's what he said. They said, would you live your life differently? He says, yes, I would live my life differently. I would pray more. I would tell the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I thought it was important that you hear it in his own words. This was a man of much prayer. Much prayer. I've told you before, E.M. Bounds, 5 volumes on prayer, and at the end of his life, he said, oh, that I would have prayed more. How much communion do we have with God? Do you hear his voice? Do you hear him speak to your heart? Do you hear him guide you? Do you hear him rebuke you and correct you? So he says, okay, so our Father, who's in heaven, holy be your name. Verse 10, what we pray? Here's what he says. What does he pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Listen, are you longing for the return of Christ? You know what? I want to know. Are you longing for the return of Christ?
Yes.
Good. Just check it. I don't know. I'll get back to you.
Yes, I are.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Eagerly. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You ever go home, you know, and you pull in the driveway and you can hear your dogs already going nutso in the house? Because they're eagerly waiting their master to walk through the door. We open the door and they're all looking at us like, what's going on? Where you been? Why? That's what we should be. That's the way we should be. Or how about Titus chapter 2, verse 13? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our great God and Savior. Glorious appearing. Listen, blessed hope that he's going to come and be here. How about Jude chapter 1, verse 21? I love this. Listen to this. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Listen, if you're in love with God, if you keep yourself in the love of God, you're going to be looking for him. Oh, I can't wait for him to get home. I can't wait for him to take us home. because there's that love. But if you just have an acquaintance with him, you're like, well, you know, I hope he doesn't come today. I got plans. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know. You ever think about how God's will is dealt with in heaven? You think they follow it? You think it has some weight, God's will in heaven? You think you go, oh, the Lord wants me to, you know, go buy a gallon of milk. I'll do it tomorrow. No, he doesn't drink milk. He is milk. He's meat. He's the bread. He's living water. So he doesn't need a gallon of any of that stuff. But you get the idea. Listen, I think I get a feeling, call me kooky, that in heaven, his will is important. That I think in heaven, I have a feeling that they obey his will. And the reason why I say that is because I know one guy who didn't obey his will in heaven, and he's no longer in heaven. He thought he'd do his own thing. Yet, on earth, donkeys obey God, even speak. Wow. Giant fish obey God and eat bitter men. Oh, he tasted bitter, but God told me to eat him. There, stay on that beach. And tasted nasty. Jesus said even the rocks would crack open and sing out, Hosanna! In the highest, if people didn't. So listen, look. And even demons get in those pigs. Yes, Jesus, just leave us alone. Everything obeys God except man. We're the only ones that go, ah, God, whatever. I know your word says this or that. But it doesn't apply to me. God, you know me. I'm special. Yeah, right. Special. Only to God are we special. Special enough to send his son to die a brutal death to cover our stupidity, our foolishness. And then he says this, my son died so that you and I can now have communion. So you can pray to me without going to a priest and have him go and represent you. You can come straight to me. Not only that, you can call me father. Not only that, you can call me daddy. And we go, not today, Lord. I don't have time. I've got to go get me some gold. I got things I want to do. Speaking of gold, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, can you pray for your daily needs? Sure. Absolutely. Go for it. Enjoy. Pray, God. My rent is due. God, my car needs a car payment, new tires. God, I need a new job. Yes, please, but that's not what this is about. Now, I'll tell you, you can go find commentaries that say, oh, that is nonsense. Adam Clark says, oh, that's nonsense, what I'm about to teach you. But I'm going to show you that it's not nonsense. I don't care if Adam Clark's grandma came and told me, you're wrong, Pastor Randy. I'm not wrong. Let me prove it to you biblically. This is not speaking about our daily bread, food on the table. Why? Because God is faithful to meet all our needs. He is faithful. He'll provide. You can pray for that, but that's not the structure that we're praying here. Why? Jesus talks spiritual. He says, our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's all spiritual. Obedience. Walking with God. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. If that's physical, that sounds weird, because the next thing he's going to do is go back to spiritual. Wanting us to, you know, forgive, be forgiven of our sins, and we forgive others. That's spiritual. So why would he go spiritual, tangible, carnal, spiritual? It's not cohesive. Not only that, Matthew 4:4. Jesus arguing or debating or answering Satan. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When did you hear Jesus ever pray for provisions? No. We don't hear it. It's not recorded. I'm sure he did. He took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And then it was multiplied. They need to pay taxes. Go fishing. There's a gold coin in the mouth. But Jesus wasn't about the tangible. Show me where he's about the tangible. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar. Give to God what is God's. What is God's? Your prayer, your faith, your obedience. Or how about this? Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need, singular, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is our one need? Jesus. Salvation. What good is it if I have food on the table and I die, choke on a chicken wing, and go to hell? Go to hell. Hell. That way. Go to hell. Do it this way. Las Vegas. Okay. Joking. It's that way north. Okay. So, sorry. I told you I felt weird today. Give us this day our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. Listen, if I have my daily, when I read the word in the morning, I read the word during the afternoon, I crack open my Bible app and read my verse of the day, or I'm at a prayer meeting, or I'm studying, whatever it is, I need my daily understanding. What good is it if I just read it? But check this out. If I understand the word, and I'm walking right before God, he's going to supply all my needs because he's already supplied my need. So I won't be dogmatic. If a pastor says, here, pray for your daily provision, okay. But I'm telling you, what you really need more than a chicken wing is the word of God to reside in your heart with understanding so you can apply it to your life and live a godly life. Which is more valuable? Huh? Tuna fish sandwich? Or living according to God? So if Jesus is going to give them an outline, he's talking about spiritual things. Watch verse 12. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And someone says, there, see, that's physical. It's your debt. All my bank bills, my credit cards. Lord, forgive me for running up my credit cards. No. The word in the Greek is ophilema, which can be translated debt, but it's better translated sin. Forgive us our sins. By the way, the wages of sin is debt, is death. The wage, the payment. What's owed, that's a debt. I like the New Living Translation has it right. Verse 12, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We, you and I, are to forgive as we've been forgiven. Yeah. In fact, here's the thing. And I've said this before, and I'll say it a billion times after tonight. I am the worst sinner I know. Why? Because only I know what's in this big, huge, gigantic melon. There's a lot. There's a lot of mess. I need a lot of forgiveness. Y'all have little melons. So I have more sin than you do because of the melon size. No, listen, I only know the sins I've committed. So if you do one sin against me, I'm a bigger sinner than you. So if God can forgive me and I'm to forgive as I've been forgiven. Listen, Jesus says that if we forgive others their sin, our Heavenly Father will forgive us. In other words, he says, you want to prove to me that you're grateful for the forgiveness that you have? Then forgive others. And I say, no. Just forgive me. I'm worthy. No, I'm not. We're not. Paul says this: be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Over and over again, there's many verses that say you need to forgive as you've been forgiven. The danger is we look at others and go, look at their sin, godly. Have you ever seen so much sin? Whoo! And God's going, really? So you're puffed up. You think you're all that. No, I'm not that. In fact, I don't care what sin any of you have done. I am a worse sinner. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't want to know what you've done. You don't want to know what I've done. So why don't, the Lord knows, and he's forgiven me, and he's forgiven you. So now forgive others. I don't want to. But he's our Father. May we keep his name holy, set apart in our heart. Verse 13. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? And here's what he says. Here, verse 13. Here's why. Here's one good reason, huge reason. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a huge, hugely controversial verse. Why? Wait a second, Pastor Randy. James chapter 1, verse 13 says this: let no one say that he is tempted. When he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Why does it say here, God, lead us not, and don't lead me into temptation, God, deliver me from evil? That's not the proper reading of that verse. It's not? No. Really? Yeah. So what is? I don't know. No. This is the connotation right here. I, Pastor Randy, have a tendency to stray. God, would you please lead me so that I'm not going towards temptation? And Lord, lead me away from temptation, because if you're not leading me, that's the direction I'm going to go. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, God, if you're leading me, don't take me towards temptation, God. That's not right. God would never do that. He loves you too much to do that to you. So the proper reading is, God, I tend to go through temptation. So, Lord, would you please lead me away from the temptation? And he says this, and from the evil one, deliver us from the evil one. Why? Because the evil one, like a lion, is hiding in the bushes. The thing about a lion, when it's hunting its prey, the prey can't see the lion. He knows how to get real low, and he creeps. And he waits for that moment. That's what Satan is. And so what he's saying here is, God, I don't know where the enemy is hiding. I have a tendency to go towards the temptation. But if you lead me, you can deliver me away from that bad dude who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a lion hiding in the bushes. I can't see him. He's camouflaged. He's camouflaged. Stop. So do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So it's not God leading. You got that? Okay. Then, wow, I can't believe this. I was really thinking this might be a two-parter, but I'm doing good. But look at this next part. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, forgive our trespasses. Now, real quick. The New Living Translation, the NIV, the ESV, and some others leave this doxology off. A doxology is just a spontaneous praise of God. They leave this off. They say, listen, some manuscripts don't have this section in it. The King James, New King James, the NSAB, they have, and some others, have this doxology. Well, here's the thing. Is there anything wrong with it? Is it heretical? No. If we are praying the way Jesus would ask us to pray, is that not honoring and keeping God holy? That for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever? Father, forgive us our trust. Wouldn't that be a glorious thing to add at the end of praying before God, just break out in spontaneous doxology? I think so. Since this isn't heretical and some manuscripts do have it, some don't, I prefer to leave it in. How about you? Yeah. That's not biblical. It's not. Is it accurate?
Yeah.
You have a problem with it?
No.
Then shut up.
Yeah.
But his, God, it's his kingdom. It's his power. It's his glory. It's forever. And when we say amen, what we are saying there is we're saying, yes, we agree. Not only do we agree, we're holding on to that. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Oh, by the way, we had this discussion in men's ministry. What glory is? What is glory? And it was cool. The dudes, I loved their answers, great answers. A guy said, well, it's worship. Yeah, that's not what glory is. That's something we do to give glory. Someone said it's praise. Well, yeah, it's obedience. Oh, okay. You want to know what glory is? It's value. When you glorify God, you're giving God value. It is worship. Worship is worship, giving him worth. You're giving God praise. You're saying, I praise you because I value you. There is no greater kingdom. There's no greater power. And there's no greater glory. Why? Because God is worth more than everything combined and multiplied a billion times. That is his glory. We give him glory when we give him worth. When we go before Christ, when he shows up with his scars and we take the crowns from our head and we throw them at his feet, the crowns that we receive for the works that we done that we have done with him and for him with the right heart, we throw them at his feet. Why? Because he is worth it, not us. He deserves the glory, not us. And so his is the glory forever. So as we look at this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, the model of prayer, and that's what it is. It's really an outline. You can pray it. Just don't make it a mantra. You can pray it. Just don't recite it as if it's nothing. Think about each section as having deep, impactful meaning and pray it like you mean it. And by all means, turn off the TV. Turn off the cell phones. Give your undivided attention. You don't have to. You know why? You know why we get this idea of closing our eyes and putting our hands together? You know where that comes from? Little kids. Sunday school teachers somewhere decided that little kids are fidgety. But if you get them to close their eyes so they're not looking at, oh, look at that toy. Oh, look at that over there. And put their hands together, it causes them to give God their undivided attention when they pray. Now, maybe you don't need to do that. I don't have to do that. Sometimes I cross my arms. Sometimes I'm laying down. Sometimes I'm driving. Sometimes I'm having, speeding tickets. But I'm praying. I'm praying, especially the speeding tickets. I'm praying. No, listen. It's not the posture. It's the heart, the posture of the heart, not the posture of the body. But we need to give him our undivided attention. And maybe you think, well, how come my prayers aren't having power and validity? Maybe you're not giving him your full attention. Why don't I hear from God? I don't know. What are you doing? Are you in an intimate relationship? Or are you just kind of giving him a byproduct of your time? And remember this. If you take nothing away from this, take these two things, three things. Our witness is when we share what we know. Our witness is when we bring to him what we got. And when we do that, we can say, our Father, may your name be holy in our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in your word. And I know I went rather fast. It's a lot of verses. There's really several studies in here that we could get really down and pick it apart. But Lord, I think as an overview, I pray, Lord, that each person here heard what you told me. I pray that each person here would respond the way I want to respond, Lord. I pray that each one of my brothers and sisters would come alive in their prayer life, in their walk with you. I pray each one of us would not only keep your name holy in our life, but that we would be with you, Lord. And that, Lord, we'd be following you close by spending time corporately, individually, secretly. You're in the secret place. Lord, that we'd just be real with you, Lord. Tell you what's on our heart. You see our heart. You care about our heart. I don't understand it, but I love it. And so help us all to see the power of prayer. See how it affects our witness. See how we give you worth, praise, value, glory when we pray. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, that you would be blessed by our devotion to you and our faith. May you come back and find us nagging you to love us more. Not that we have to, but you love it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing one last song.